Amen. How many love Jesus?
Amen.
Well, that's why we're here today, aren't we?
Amen.
Because we love Him. And that's one thing we give thanks for, you know, and we have so many things to thank the Lord for, our families and just all the things that He's done with us and through us. But, you know, the biggest thing I can give thanks for is that He gave us Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, what a gift, huh?
Amen.
You can't outdo that one. So, well, we're going to kind of take up where we left off a month ago, and probably some of you were here, some of you weren't here, some of you remember some things, but we put them up on a board so that can help you, you know, when you have an image of something, it actually kind of sticks with you a little more. At least that's what they say in school, you know, if you write things down, because I can sit through a class and then go home and, man, what did they say? I don't have a clue, you know. So we're not just going to trust in what I've got written up here, but the Holy Spirit, I tell you what, the Holy Spirit is here to reveal Christ.
Amen.
He knows Jesus just so well that when Jesus said, when He was on the earth, He said, guys, it's going to be a lot better that I go. And I couldn't imagine that it could get any better than running around with Him, huh? But if Jesus says it's better that I go, then there's something better coming than Him even being with you in this earth. You could say, well, what could get better than that? Well, listen, He says, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come. And when the Spirit of truth comes, He's going to take everything of mine, of me, and He's going to show it to you. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, He couldn't show us everything. He even told His own disciples, He says, I got a lot of things to share with you, but you're not able to bear Him. You know, there's some things that we just can't handle. It's too much. And as being a Christian over the years, sometimes it gets to where, well, the simplicity that is in Christ is so good and so simple that it sometimes just goes way over our head. And we need the Holy Spirit to reveal the Son, not the one that's up in the heavens, but the Christ in you.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Now, we all have that. Well, yeah, where does Jesus say? Well, He lives in my heart, you know. And, you know, to a lot of people, it's just, it's a knowledge of that He's there. But actually what He did in redemption is far greater than just Him living in some part of our heart, okay? Where, you know, when we're in trouble, we kind of take Him out and then say, oh, Jesus, help, you know. And then when things start going good, then we go put Him back and we go on living our life. So I've walked with the Lord for a few years, but how do you know that there's something wrong with us human beings, huh?
Yes.
How about something really wrong? That we're not just a little messed up.
Yep.
We're really messed up. And we don't just have problems. We are the problem. Okay? So God's not going to deal with all the problems that you and I have. He's going to deal with the cause of the problem. And once He deals with that, then He's expecting the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the understanding of walking in that. Now, this is not difficult, but remember when who was the forerunner of Jesus? John the Baptist.
Yep.
And what did John say? What did they say about, you know, he says, who are you? And he said, well, some say you're this prophet or that prophet. But he says, I'm the voice of one. And he says, the time has come where God is going to lay the axe to the root. Now, some of you guys work with trees, right? And, you know, you prune them. You're familiar with pruning. What happens after you prune a tree? It comes back more. And this is what happens when we're talking about here. We have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All of you are familiar with that. When God said to Adam, you know, you can eat of every tree in the garden. And there's the tree of life. But there's one tree I don't want you to eat. Because in the day that you eat of it, you don't just might die, you will surely die. Now, how many of you know this with kids? If you tell them, don't put your finger in that light socket, that's exactly where they're going to go. Don't mess with the temperature thing, you know, because, And that's what they're going to do. Somebody's going to move it up. Somebody's going to move it down. But there's something in man, and here you have Adam in a perfect environment. So you say, well, this guy's without excuse. I mean, he's got the perfect wife, right? He's the only one there. I mean, he's got everything that anyone could ever dream of, right? But there's something he doesn't have, and that's why when we think of Adam, we think that God made him perfect, but if he made him perfect, then he was incapable of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He had the capacity to walk with the Lord. He walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. It wasn't like he was a foreigner to them. They were friends. But there was something that enticed him or enticed Eve, and you can go back to the scriptures, and we're not going to have time to probably go through everything today, but it says that the woman was deceived, but the man was not. So do you know what it means to be deceived? You know, you thought this, I could use a lot of illustrations, but I'm going to stay out of trouble. But you thought something was like going to be what it is, and then you figure out later it's not like that. Okay, well, who would be more responsible than the one that knew it was wrong and ate? Adam, right? Because he was with her. It wasn't like he was off somewhere else. It says, and he too. Okay, and we're going to see this in the scriptures. If you want to put that up in now in 1 Corinthians, I've written a few down here, that Adam was the head of a race of people, us called human beings. Okay? He's the head. And everything that's going to come after Adam, it's going to be after his kind. Okay? After his image and likeness. Remember when God made man? He made him after his image and his likeness. Now, if you'll go to your Bible sometime, because this is going to take some time for it to get into you. You go to your Bible and you remember in Genesis where God made all the animals, and then he made all the fruits, and then all the seeds, the trees, and he says everything was after its own kind, okay? But when he comes to man, it says that he made him after his own image and likeness. So he wasn't after his own kind. So what I'm going to show you today, or the Holy Spirit is going to show all of us today, there's a big difference between the first Adam and what was called the last Adam, because Jesus ain't the last Adam over here. He put an end to the first Adam being the last Adam here. Okay? And we'll see this from the scriptures if you want to put that up there. Okay, it says, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in who? Adam, what?
All die.
All die. So even, or even so in Christ, what? All shall be made alive. Now go on to the next scripture on that. And it says, we can use that one too. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then what happened? All died. Now, can you remember we used that, you know, I don't know how many remember last month ago or so, but I used the example of if we had a CD and we were recording something and the CD had a flaw in it, then everything that was copied after it would be flawed. So you don't go back and try to fix all the flaws. Now, you sent out 1,000 copies. Now you got to mail all this stuff out, say, man, you would send everything back. You know, like certain manufacturers of automobiles every once in a while. But what we do, what the Lord did, is you fix the master. Okay? So the Lord's not dealing. This is an awesome understanding of the way the Lord has dealt with humanity. The Lord doesn't deal with us all individually, like fixing all of us. What he does, he deals with the head of the human race, Adam. So what's he do? He gives us another Adam, but he's not the second Adam. He's called the last, because there ain't going to be a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth. He's going to be the last one. Now, in that scripture, I want us to, if you want to bring it up again in 1 Corinthians 15, but there's another one. Maybe I didn't have it written down here. 45. I'm sorry, I didn't give you that scripture. But anyway, what is it says here, as it is written, for the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So there's a real distinction between God breathing into man and giving him the breath of life and Jesus being a life-giving spirit. So Jesus has in himself something that Adam never had, because Adam never came over here and ate of the tree of life. Remember, as soon as he ate of this tree, he was thrown out of the garden, and there was a sword put there by an angel where he couldn't get back into that garden, where he would eternally be in a state of separation from his creator. Now, how would that be? Well, it's just, this is, we'll just say this is eternal life, okay? Now, when you and I most of the time think of eternal life, we think of, oh, that's just living forever. Eternal life is not living forever. Because everybody that's born into the earth is going to live forever. But they don't have eternal life. Only those that receive Jesus. What is eternal life? Eternal life in the scriptures is, this is eternal life. To know the only true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. So now when we talked a month or so ago about Adam, say, being here, and then here's the fall. And then we'll call this the fall. Man fell into sin, and this is redemption. God didn't put us back into Adam. He takes us out of this race. You ever study your family tree? My sisters are just crazy about that. They want to go back and find out, you know, grandpa so-and-so, back. And our family tree, as you can read in the scriptures, all goes back to Adam. So on this tree that we call the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, let's just say it's got some good fruit on it, and it's got some bad fruit on it. Okay? Oh, some of you are saying, man, this guy is really strange. I'm having a hard time. Now, just listen. I've learned this. That the Holy Spirit a lot of time would take things, something that somebody's saying at the time, and it could be weeks and months later when you're going through the scripture, and you say, oh my God. So don't be, you know, disheartened that, I'm not getting, this is going way over my head. No. It's not, let's just trust the Holy Spirit together this day, and I believe that the Lord, he's got you here for a reason, a purpose, and he wants you to see Jesus. He wants me to see Jesus in a greater measure than I've ever seen him before. How many want to see Jesus? And we say, and I'm talking about seeing him beyond this side, because we'll call this the old covenant, him being down here as, you know, all the disciples saw Jesus, but they did not know him after the Spirit. They knew him after the flesh, but they did not know him after the Spirit at that time. And I can show you again in that scripture, in scriptures, where Paul says, we know no man after the flesh, even though we know Christ that way, we no longer know him that way. So you may have felt, I felt when I was, you know, younger, I got cheated because I didn't get to run around with this guy. Those guys had an advantage over us. I mean, they rubbed shoulders with him. They saw him walk on the water. I mean, you see him walk on the water, I can believe God for anything after that. But you know what? Peter was with him those three all during that time, and he denied the Lord three times. Now, how does that work in? How does that factor into it? See, we say that, well, if we've seen all these miracles, if God would do all this stuff, then I wouldn't have any problem believing. You know, the children of Israel that were in Egypt didn't come into the promised land. And they had every miracle. You go through your scriptures, they had everything happen. They committed every sin in the book that you could commit, but that didn't keep them out of the promised land either. You know what kept them out? Their unbelief. And if you remember the scripture Pastor made reference to a few weeks ago, is that they seen themselves as grasshoppers in their own sight. They saw the giants over there, And there was only two that saw themselves the way the Lord saw them. And that's what he wants to show us. The greatest news that you can ever, I believe the Holy Spirit can reveal, is to show us Christ from his point of view. Not the way I have him with my glasses on. I want to see Jesus the way he is. And the truth will be is when you see him as he is, the Bible says, we're conformed to that very same image. So how many get tired of messing with you? I mean, trying to fix yourself all the time because you say, man, I get tired. You ever been just like, you feel like, man, and then the devil gets on you, and then you beat yourself up, and then you just like, oh, man, this Christianity, I just can't live this. Well, you know what the good news is? You can't. You can't. That's why Christ came. Yep. Now, he's not going to come here to fix you. Like, here we got, let's say, well, you could name whatever sin you have a problem with. I'm not going to say it. But you could have some good fruit on this tree, too. But what's the problem? It's still on this tree. And this tree has its root in Adam. So let's say that you're a really good person. You know, like Paul the Apostle that says, hey, I'm going to boast a little bit. I studied under Gamaliel, Hebrew the Hebrew, the law. I'm blameless. Okay. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But he comes to the end of what he's talking about. And he says, not to be found in mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but to be found in the righteousness, which is Christ. Now, if you could find somebody that could fix you and not just fix your problems, wouldn't that be some good news? Because this has to not just be like, okay, that's a good teaching. Oh, Doug, that was a great sermon. This is good theology. No. This, what the Lord wants to reveal to his church, is Christ as your life. Not you and Christ. And I'll show you from the scriptures, this is what Paul called the revelation of Christ. When it pleased God to reveal his son in me. Not to me. All of us have had Christ revealed to us as our Savior, right? We got saved. Healer. How many have been healed by him? Baptizer. Our soon coming King. But the Lord's desire, the Holy Spirit, is to give us a revelation of Christ in us as our life. Not me and Christ, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I no longer live according to myself, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. So what does he do here with all this bad fruit? He does the same thing what he does with all your good fruit. You say, well, why would he do away with good fruit? Because if your good fruit comes from this tree, it's just as bad as the bad fruit. You understand? Because the source of it is still the same. That's why we've got people doing good things, and they think by their good works, they're going to be saved. But the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. You say, man, I read my Bible, I go to church, I pray, I do all these things, I think God's really happy with me. I got some really good news if you want to be made free, not just not set free, but made free, is that Jesus came here, and when he died on that cross, he just didn't die there by himself. If one died for all died. Now that's God's answer to get rid of you. But you got to see that your death was in him. Right? Is that really hard to understand? Remember Goliath and David? David, they said when he came up there and says, what's the terms? What's going on there? He said, well, we got this giant out here, and you know, he's defying the armies of Israel. And they said, you know, if they win, we become their slaves. If we win, they become our slaves. Now, the Lord is drawing a picture again. He does this over and over and over and over again in the Old Covenant. He's just showing us a picture, showing us a picture. He says, now get this one, get this one, get this one, get this one. Can you get this? Because this here is a promise. This here is the fulfillment of that promise. Most Christians are still living on this side of the cross, even though they're over here in the new covenant, born again, but they still haven't seen what God did in Christ on that cross. They look at the cross as a historical thing that took place. Well, yeah, Jesus came 2,000 years ago and died for me on the tree. Isn't that not true? That's true. But he didn't just die for me as my substitute. I needed to die. Jesus didn't need to die. I needed to die. So he is taking my place, but he's dying as me. Whoa, what does that mean? That means that his death was my death so that his life could become my life. I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, you know what the transaction is? He's not changing me. He's exchanging me. He's making an exchange of my life for his life. Woo! So if this is what's creating all the problems, what's he do? It's called the sin nature, or call it whatever you want. It produces all the works of the flesh. So what does he do? He says, well, I've got an answer. I'm going to take all humanity to the cross. And Paul's out there in the desert for a number of years. And he had already read everything in the Old Testament. And just one day, God just, Paul, I'm going to open your eyes. Remember, he was blind for 3 days on the road to Damascus? What is blind? 3 days. See, Holy Spirit doesn't make any mistakes of what's in the Scriptures. It's just, it's like a woman that's pregnant. It's just full of revelation. The Word of God is full of revelation. 3 days, death, burial, resurrection. And it was at noonday. What does that mean? You know when you're outside and the sun is directly above? There's no shadows. Everything in the Old Covenant is a shadow pointing to something, but it is not the reality. The miracles, the gifts of the Spirit, all of them are pointing to someone, not just what he did, but who he is. And once you find out, okay, we found out what he did, but most of us still don't see what he did to us. Because he wasn't just doing it, okay, I'm going to do this for you, and then it's going to be counted as that. That's Old Covenant. Remember, it was counted to him as righteousness, Abraham, his faith. New Covenant, Christ has been made unto us righteousness. Everything changes in the New Covenant. But we can be just like Israel, who when the day Jesus shows up and he's in the temple and they open the book and, you know, he says, you know, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me to heal the sick, to, you know, preach the recovering of sight to the blind, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, he closed the book and it says all the eyes of people were fastened on him. Well, I should say so, because right now he's declaring what Isaiah declared some 700 years prior to his coming. And he's saying, I'm here now. Remember when Jesus was here? He says, you know, the kingdom's real close right now. Hadn't come yet, but it's among you. Who is it? It's Christ. And what's he going to do? He's going to take you out of this kingdom, and he's going to put you in a new kingdom. He's going to take you out of Adam, and he's going to put you into Christ. And if you go through your New Testament, you'll find that there's over 220 some references to being in Christ. Everything you and I have today is related directly to him having taken us out of one humanity and having us placed us in what's called the new creation. And it says, behold, if any man be in Christ. He is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things. Say all.
All.
Not some things. Well, you know, I was raised, you don't know my family, man. I got all this trash from my background, and, you know, my dad was like this, or my mom was like that, or we were raised. Do you know what? We have to see when we get saved. And I'm not disregarding things of that sort. And some of them are very serious things that's happened to us in our childhood. But the most crippling thing to humanity, in my point of view, is me not having understanding of what Christ did. Because Jesus said, you know the truth, not truths. You don't have enough lifetimes to preach a bunch of truths. You'll know the truth. And the truth, it doesn't set you free like I'm in a prison and now the door's open. Did you know you can be in prison and be free? A lot of people are more free in prison than they are out of prison because they know Jesus. See, he makes you the way he is. Now what happens? Now this can be mind-blowing because this first Adam, you can read in Corinthians, again, we're not go there, but it says, the first Adam is of the earth, earthly. Okay? The last Adam is from above. Actually, the way it reads here, it says, the first man is of the earth, made of the dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Wow. So remember, can you distinguish between the first Adam being a living being, a living soul, the last Adam being a life-giving spirit? Now, another something that really blows my mind is that the first Adam is called the first man, but Christ is called the second man. Huh, what does that mean? You ever heard of Jesus being the Son of God, the Son of Man? You ever hear of Jesus being the only begotten? And then over in the New Covenant, firstborn from among the dead? What has happened? Folks, if you could put your name here, you could, every one of you, just list your name right over the top of him. And what Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. I no longer live. You know, some of you are looking at me like, well, what does that mean? Well, we need to, you know what? You need to get before the Lord and stare there long enough to find out, what does that mean? Because I'm telling you, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And if you are tired of wrestling with yourself and wrestling to be a better Christian, there is a rest for the people of God where you cease from your own labor and you enter into his rest. Remember God entered into rest? Why? Was he tired? No. What happened? Why did he enter into rest? Because he finished what he was doing. He finished his work. Well, he finished his work and he sat down. And when he sat down, we sat down there with him. So we're not trying to attain everything that Christians are trying to attain today, folks. I'm sorry. But we're all trying to better ourselves. And what they're trying to do is patch the old creation. They're trying to patch Adam's. There's no remedy for this guy. You know, God saw, there's no remedy for him. The only remedy for him is to do away with him completely. Take him into death. And not only into death, you'll find out burial. Now, some of you, we've all lost loved ones. And usually, after we honor that person, they take him out to the cemetery, and what do? And what is that a symbol of to us? It's a conclusion that life is over with. It's over with. You were buried together with him in baptism. You may think you're still alive, but you're not. It's Christ that's in you now. Hello? You say, well, then why in the world do I have all this baggage? Because I tell you, and we don't have time in one service to do this. I spend weeks doing this stuff, just laying foundation till finally, you know, after about 3 days, I'll have pastors saying, you've got to be kidding. I says, no. And then there'll be others say, I got it. And I know right now, they don't got it. I think I'm catching it now. No, there's only one way you're going to get this, and it's not by hearing me or hearing anybody else. If you want Jesus, as much as we deceive ourselves and saying, yeah, I want a Jesus, I want to live for Jesus, you know where he's going to take you? He's going to take you right there. And he's going to keep you there until you see what he did. And you stay there, and you cry out to God till you get a revelation of Christ in you. Otherwise, you are going to struggle all the days of your life, all the way to your grave. You're always going to be working on you. And we never come into what was in his heart. And that's what happened to the children of Israel. And God gave those people chance after chance after opportunity. And he says, man, I'm grieved with that generation. I don't want God to be grieved with this generation. There is a generation. It doesn't matter to him how long it takes, but there is a generation that's going to see this and declare it. And it will turn the world upside down. They won't even try to turn the world upside down. It'll just happen. Because can you imagine being embodied with the person of Christ? What does that look like? Well, I'll tell you what it looks like. It don't look like most of Christianity we see today. Because a person embodied with Christ will no longer live for himself. And you can be a Christian and still have self as your center. Without even being selfish. You can still live, have your life still all evolved around you. And what God wants to do for you in this life. But when Christ inhabits and indwells in you and takes you over, and you come to a revelation of Christ, you know what happens? It's automatics, folks. There's some things that are automatic, and I'm going to have to close with that because our time's run out. But if he can take you out of one branch and put you in another tree, then whatever's in that vine is in that branch. And that branch does not have to produce anything that looks like Christ. It will automatically produce what it is. Amen. Amen. Apples don't have to try to produce apples. Cows don't have to try to reproduce cows. It just happens. Why? Because you're born of an incorruptible seed. The same DNA that raised Christ from the dead is the same DNA that you got raised from when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And I tell you, folks, there ain't any better news than what you're hearing right now. You were made one with him. You didn't just get your sins forgiven where God says, well, I'm going to die on the cross, shed some blood, and, you know, just forgive you of your sins. Because there's been a lot of methods God could have used to forgive us of our sins. But why the cross? Have you ever thought of it? Why the cross? Jesus is called the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And there is a nature that's in God that's the way he is. That's just the way he is. God can't help but be the way. When we say God's love, that's just the way he is. And when that nature comes in you, that same nature does what Jesus does. You don't have to have a little wristband around your arm. What would Jesus do? You know, go jump in the river. Get in the river. What are you talking about, jump in a river? The river's in us. See, we got everything, a lot of things backwards. Not everything, but a lot of things turned around. And that's why we don't find more victory in our lives. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And our faith is placed in what he did and what's done, not what he's going to do someday in the future. And if you can see your union with him, and this was Jesus, you can just see, oh my word, could you imagine being the Son of Man and the only one with life in you? And everyone else is in darkness? And you know they need to have what you got, but you can't give it to them, teaching it to them. That can be the most frustrating thing, is trying to teach people. And he said, now, Philip, oh, God, how long have I been with you? Remember, he says, I'm going away now. And Philip's getting nervous. They all get nervous. He's saying he's going away. And he says, well, show us the Father. Jesus, I've been with you guys 3.5 years. And you know what all they're thinking about? And this is just natural man. Jesus knew that. Who's going to sit on the right and the left? Anytime Jesus started talking about the cross, all those disciples, they just went over their head. They didn't have a clue going to the cross now. Peter, who had a little revelation at the beginning, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. 2 seconds later, Jesus is saying, get thee behind me, Satan, because he's talking about going to the cross. Because I'll tell you, there's a Christianity being propagated today that all it is for the loaves and the fishes. And as long as Jesus is multiplying the loaves and the fishes and producing what they need, everything's cool. But when he starts talking about the cross, it says they all left him. And only the 12 stood there. And he says, you guys want to go too? Because if you don't compromise your message, you're going to preach what Christ preached, what the apostles end up preaching. They end up preaching Christ and him crucified. See how that grows your church. Huh? Well, how many of you would rather have an increase of Christ at the decrease of yourself? That's what we need. We need an increase of Christ in our lives. And that's what the Holy Spirit is wooing the church to. He's never changed. He's got one program, one message. It's Jesus. And if you read this from cover to cover, Jesus says, behold, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me. Every page, every dot, and every tittle, all it is revealing Christ, Christ, Jesus, 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 Jesus. But not Jesus, okay, just as a human Jesus in the earth, the Nazarene. He's revealing the resurrected Christ and your union with him in that resurrection. Time's up. But is that good news? I mean, good news. So I'll close with this. There was a veil that was between mankind and God, right? Over here, God is your God. Over here, God is your Father. Over here, he's the judge. Over here is the mercy seat. Some of you that are always wondering if you're not pleasing to the Lord, enter into this rest. There's only one that's ever pleased him, and that's Christ. And you know what he did? He put you in Christ. And you can read it in Ephesians. You are accepted in the Beloved. You know what? You don't have to cry anymore that God don't love you or God's disappointed with you. Just get back up on your feet. If you sin, confess your sin. We have an advocate with the Father. We even got a high priest. What is that all about? That's another blessing that most of us don't even partake of. When the priest of the old covenant went in and they were just waiting whether he'd be accepted, he'd come back out. Our high priest, when he went in behind that veil that Pastor mentioned this morning, go in behind the veil, there's rest, there's peace. Why? It's Christ. You can rest in that. You're accepted. Say, I'm accepted. I don't have to do anything. I've already been accepted. That's the grace of God. Unmerited favor. Nothing you did to merit it. Nothing you can't do to unmerit it, or it wouldn't be unmerited faith. Unmerited. Lord, we just thank you today for these seeds that we've been able to sow. And I trust that it's been sown in good ground and that it will not return void. And I pray that if there's many of your people here today that love you with a whole heart. Oh, there's people that truly, truly, really love you, Lord, but they're struggling. And they've struggled and they see themselves failing over and over. Lord, that's why he took all of our failings in Christ. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll just come alive, that they'll see that their death was in the person of Christ, and their resurrection was when Christ came into their life. And Lord, what is left for us to do is to believe the gospel, to renew our minds with that understanding. Just let this mind be in you. Just let it be in you. Accept it by faith. You don't have to understand everything. You just need to know that it's true, because the Holy Spirit is making it true to your heart today. And I believe that shackles are just falling off of people. Burdens are just coming off. I mean, it might not be just what most of the time we deal with sin. It might be all the good things you've been trying to do for the Lord that you feel like you've fallen short of. Lord, I just pray that as we leave here today, but not one of us will leave unchanged, being changed by your Spirit to that very same image, Lord. Thank you for every one of them, Lord. Thank you for this Thanksgiving. And Lord Jesus, we celebrate Christ today. We celebrate Him day. Just give the Lord thanks. Amen.